Welcome. So glad you are joining me. I'm Laura, and this is the Whole Home Podcast. Before I introduce you to my next guest, I wanted to say a special thank you to Gareth for uploading new episodes every month for me so they can be listened to by you all. And I really appreciate your service to all of us, Gareth, so thank you. And now, drum roll, please. Introducing Erica DeVore. Erica is years old and hails from, just kidding, that would be horrible. Hey, Erica.
Hi.
All right, welcome to you. So glad you are here.
I'm glad to be here.
And okay, just throwing the ball right to you. How did we meet?
I believe it was in the Soto group. Okay. Like, I remember seeing you and Ryan and the kids at downtown.
Same, yeah.
I'm pretty sure first actual conversation was when we were in CG together with the Sotos.
And we were packed in with a huge crowd of people, which was so fun. Mm-hmm. It's just, I was thinking back at that time, and it was funny to me because I realized when I met you that I was coming off like a low season of maybe just, I don't know, regarding friendships, I guess. And it was a season where I was learning to grow an open-handed trust in so many needed areas, including relationships with women. And you never know who's around the corner, which is amazing. Like, you can't always predict who it might be. And as I was preparing for your podcast, I can't tell you how many times I started crying or I had goosebumps on my arms as I was reading your notes. I think the reason for like my tears or just the connection was that my relationship with you and my family's relationship to your family is one that I think was sewn together tightly and potently in Christ in a way that only his fellowship can stitch. And in God's sovereign will, I think our families were put together at that time in the Sotos group for a reason. And I know that I speak for Ryan too when I say we feel a deep spirit connection and so much love for you and Kenny and your kids. It's so sweet and so special to us. And so when I say I got goosebumps or tears, it's because I believe that I'm experiencing godly fellowship with you. And my heart was just responding in worship and praise at God's presence and thankfulness. And it's just kind of amazing for me to know like where I was and like now who God gave to me. And one of those friends was you. So what I want to say about you in particular, Erica, is that I have always considered you a lovely lady. And because of your nearness to Jesus, which has grown more and more in recent years, I have beheld you becoming even lovelier. And you have an exuding joy, hope, and peace about you, and love for your husband and your children. And I would also say for God's people. And I have seen you grow in Christ, courage, and vulnerability. I can't remember what the specifics are, but I have been around you so many times when you have said, I've never done that before. And I've never heard you be negative outwardly in the midst of trying circumstances, even if you feel that way in your heart. And in that, I thank you for all the seeds of obedience you have sown into God's kingdom and seeds that God will surely grow. I'm done talking now. Let me give the floor to you. Love you very much.
Let me pull myself together.
Let's talk about your soil. And this is where you grew up. So if you want to start literally exactly where you were born or just where you lived when you were young.
So, I mean, I was born in Richmond, St. Mary's, if you want to be specific. But that's I grew easy. Up in New Kent, which is kind of in between Sandston, where the airport is, and Williamsburg. I mean, there's a couple counties in between there. But that's kind of like where I describe to people. It's like...
It sounds fancy.
Right, not really. Well, at least not where I was. There's some fancier areas, but... I was in the woods.
Okay. Well, there's something about it. I'm from New Kent. I don't know. All right. In the woods, what does that mean?
So we lived on a backcountry road. We had a pretty long driveway. We had neighbors, but it wasn't like a neighborhood per se. Like there were trees in between both of my neighbors. So like we could walk through to like peek at our neighbors' houses, but it wasn't like a neighborhood at all.
Is this like an area where there's no streetlights kind of thing?
Yeah, not until you get out closer to 64. Yeah, when you get closer to the interstate, that's where you start to see lights. For the longest time, there was just a food lion.
Okay.
And then we got another food lion.
Across the street now, from each other? No.
Now when I drive through there, it's totally different. There's so much stuff out there. I was like, there's a Dunkin' Donuts? Are you kidding me?
Like what, in terms of more neighborhoods or just like a strip of shops?
More neighborhoods. It's just growing. I think I saw on Facebook the other day, it's actually like one of the top 10 fastest growing counties in the United States.
Wow. What do they got? Is it like just you can get an expanse of land
There's a lot of wineries out there, especially
when you head towards. Fancy.
Yeah, I guess. especially when you head towards like the high school and everything. And honestly, I don't know. I haven't been out there in a while, and when I do, it's very close to the interstate. We have some friends that live right out there, so I didn't go too far in to see what all has changed, except for like right there. I'm like, oh my gosh, all this stuff was just trees. What happened?
Yeah. So at what point did your family line move there?
So my parents actually moved there right before I was born. My parents bought the house when my mom was very pregnant.
Okay. Are you the oldest?
I am.
Okay.
The oldest of three girls.
Ooh.
Madison and Caitlin are my two younger sisters.
And then you all grew up there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you moved from there out into the big wide world? Like,
no, actually, we were in New Kent up until until I graduated high school. I'm the only one out of the three of us that actually got to graduate from New Kent High. My sisters went to Lee Davis.
So you moved south?
Moved to Mechanicsville.
Okay.
Actually, when my mom remarried.
All right. So let's backtrack.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, just tell me about your parents. How about that?
Okay. my mom was a stay-at-home mom with us for a good chunk of my childhood. Dad was a proof press operator. He worked in a plant over by the airport, worked crazy long hours. Yeah, it was just us five.
Mm-hmm.
I was really close with Caitlin growing up. She's the next youngest because we're only 3 years apart. And then Madison is 3.5 years younger than Caitlin, so she's the baby. So Caitlin and I were pretty close. We played in the woods together a lot.
Really?
And played outside. Oh, yeah. Mom was one of those moms where it's like, go outside and play.
Okay.
So we spent a lot of time outside.
Were you like a toys heavy family or did you just have imagination? And
we had toys, had Barbie dolls, you know, My Little Ponies. I wouldn't say we were a toy heavy house. It was a lot of imaginative play, a lot of chalk on the sidewalk, riding bikes in our driveway and on our sidewalk. But yeah, a lot of also imaginative play, like in the woods. My sisters and I would pretend to be explorers, spies, you name it, whatever a kid could come up with to do out in the woods.
So adventure is your theme, not princess.
Yeah, no, I was kind of more of a tomboy. I mean, I love Disney princesses. I love Disney movies growing up, but it really wasn't too terribly much. I mean, I was a Disney princess, I guess, a few times for Halloween, but I was more.
Who'd you pick? Or just one?
My favorite is Belle, but I don't think I ever actually dressed up as her. I dressed up as, Snow White.
Snow White. Nice.
Anastasia, which is not a Disney princess, but
that's
still
fun.
Loved that movie.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah.
So what was your personality like?
I've always been quiet, more of an introvert. I was soft spoken. I was into kind of unless I was with my sisters, I was just into my own little bubble, or into a book, depending on what age of childhood we're talking here. but I've always been pretty quiet.
So it wasn't necessarily like you had one quiet side if there are people around and you would just talk with your sisters. You were pretty quiet all around.
I would definitely talk more with my sisters, but I'm still I've always been more on the quiet, keep to myself type.
So how did that dynamic work being the older sister? That's interesting.
I did not fit the stereotype for an older sister.
Way.
Caitlin was always, even though, like, age-wise, when we got old enough for me to be able to, like, watch my sisters, I was the one responsible. And I guess I attempted to be bossy, but I was not, it's not really my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Caitlin was the more one that was so, oh, you're so mature for your age. And she was the one who was more in charge than I ever was.
Yeah, that is really funny. So, like, even now, would you say that that dynamic is similar?
Yeah, that's pretty much the same. Yeah.
That's so funny.
She's more of the take charge, go get her, and I'm just not.
Do you take after one of your parents?
I'd say that my mom's pretty quiet, and I'd say I'm friendly like my dad. My dad was always a nice guy once you got to talking to him. But I don't know, I always thought I was kind of like a 50-50 mix between the two.
What are some memories from your younger years that you can share?
Other than hours and hours playing outside.
Because y'all were so staggered in age. So you didn't really know each other at school, kind of?
No. I rode the bus with Caitlin, but never with Madison. Yeah, I never didn't see Caitlin in the same school until we were in high school. I was a senior when she was a freshman. So, but even despite that, we were still super close. So as we got older, when we were younger, we really, because we didn't have, we had friends, especially in church. We had like our church friends, and we would go to the pool, the Sandston pool. My mom, or my parents, I should say, had a membership there for quite a few summers. So we had friends from there that we would hang out with. But other than that, it was just, we were really tight-knit, my sisters and I, growing up.
What was your, like, family week like? You said your dad was gone a lot.
Well, he worked long, I would say, like, 12-hour shifts with the alternating schedules, like, 4 days on, 3 days off, 3 days on, 4 days off, like, that type of rotation. But my mom really did everything. Just my dad worked. He came home. He slept. He would make an effort when we did start playing sports. He would make an effort to go to our sporting events, but other than that, not really too terribly much with him. So yeah, my mom basically took on the role of mom and dad when it came to like the gender roles of like discipline and raising. And she was the spiritual leader of the house for sure.
Yeah. So you guys would go to church on Sundays? Okay.
Yep.
From and as far back as you can remember?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Since I was a baby.
Okay.
Yep. My mom's side of the family was always big into going to church. So she was very adamant about making sure that we were in church every Sunday. And as we got older, Wednesdays, and we can get to this a little bit later if you want. But we switched from the church that I went to when I was a young, young child to our church that we came from before we came to Remnant. We were there almost all the time. We've practically lived there.
Oh, wow.
There are people that joke that we should just bring sleeping bags since we were there so much.
Okay. So. Wow.
Yeah.
Just your family or several families?
A few families. But my mom was heavily involved in the children's ministry at our previous church for a long time. So we were there Sunday morning, Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday. Anything that happened on Saturdays, like upwards basketball, we were there either for me or for my sister. So yeah, we were just at church all the time.
So where is your extended family in all this? They're close around y'all?
My dad's side of the family is, they live in Sandston, so right near the airport. Then my mom's side of the family's been all spread out. My mom's dad, my grandfather, died when I was three. And so my grandmother lived in Florida at the time with him when he passed. She got remarried, and her second husband, Vic, they got an RV bus and they traveled.
Okay.
The United States.
Wow.
And Mexico.
Wow.
So they were all over. And then I have an uncle and aunt. My uncle is the one that's my mom's brother. They live in Mechanicsville, so they've always been here.
Did you ever get to ride in that RV?
Didn't get to ride in it, but when they came to visit, they would stay at the New Kent Forestry, mm-hmm. and we got to, like, be in, like, go in there and sit in there in their, like, little couch space and
yeah,
all of that. My aunt, my mom's youngest sister, lived in Florida for a long time, and then when I was a teenager, they moved to Alaska to start a church.
Oh, my.
And now they're in Tennessee with my grandmother, so.
Wow.
Kind of wild. All over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you stayed in Richmond always? Have you traveled?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I've gone a few places, but not, like, to live, mm-hmm. Just to visit for either family trips or the occasional vacation.
Okay. So you're quiet, which lends itself to reading. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Reading, writing.
Writing, okay.
Art. I loved art. I painted for the longest time.
Like watercolors, or what would you get? Little canvases?
Yeah, canvases, or I would do watercolors sometimes. I loved both. Can't say that I was very good at it, mm-hmm. but I loved it. It was a fun pastime for me. But you'd find my nose in a book or writing more often than I would pull out my paints.
Stories?
Short stories, mostly some poetry. Oh, I haven't done that in a very long time. I had aspirations of writing a fiction book, but that never came to fruition. Mm-hmm. But it was a dream. Growing up, I said I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to be an author. I was always a big dreamer. I wanted to be a pop star at one point. I mean, 90s Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera was very popular when I was growing up. So I loved that.
Yeah. That's so funny. Do you have all their songs memorized?
I wouldn't say all. I actually really loved Hilary Duff when she switched from acting to singing. So I probably could say I know more of her discography than I do Britney or Christina.
It's so funny when I think of stuff like that. I'm just like, with my girls, if they were into boy bands or girl singers, I just can't believe my parents I was like obsessed. Did you have like posters and
mm-hmm, a few. Yeah.
It's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so what about schooling? You said you had friends at school and you did basketball. So what were you like more in like middle school, I guess? What were you involved in?
I didn't get to do basketball for school. I did that for church.
Okay.
I tried out, but I did not make the team when I tried out for basketball, so I didn't try again. middle school. Still very quiet. Just I loved English. I loved history. I love French class. Yeah, academics were not my favorite thing. I was more interested. I mean, I just wanted to have my nose in a book. Mm-hmm. It's a funny story. In high school, I had to take chemistry. I loathed chemistry. I barely passed. Okay. And I was sitting in class with my chemistry book open, and I had the Twilight book sitting on top. And my chemistry teacher came over and he said, I have never had to tell a student to stop reading in my class, but you really need to stop reading and focus on your formulas or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So I did well enough to get by. I was a ABC student, depending mm-hmm. on the subject. Math and science were not my forte.
So in general, you got along pretty well with your sisters then?
Yeah, yeah.
No sibling strife?
No.
I mean, that's real for some.
Not really. We've always been really close. Things at home between my parents were not good, so we kind of bonded mm-hmm. and were close through all of that. That mm-hmm. kind of brought us very, very much together. We just had each other to rely on, so.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm trying to see if there's any pieces to the picture I should be thinking about. Well, I guess you didn't come to Richmond very much.
No.
No.
First time I ever came to Richmond I'm sure my mom had to bring me for some things, but every now and then that I'm just not thinking of. But the first time I ever actually drove in Richmond was for my driving test.
Oh, wow. Why in Richmond?
The teacher wanted you to drive like one-way streets.
Okay.
And see, it was super early. It was the gym teacher for New Kent, or the head of the sports department. I can't remember what his title was, but he was qualified. So he would come by with a little ratty old car and like at like 5 a.m. and get us to drive to different places.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was our driving test.
Do you have any other small town stories?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Okay.
There really just wasn't much terribly to do out there. My mom, she kept us busy with a lot of extracurriculars. So, but mostly even that was in the farthest, I would say, it would be Henrico. We really didn't come in the city too much at all.
Mm-hmm. So what were your thoughts about this city? You just...
I avoided it at all costs.
Okay.
I was just like, it was too busy for me. I always knew that there was a lot of traffic in cities, and I did not like a lot of traffic. I kind of liked... I didn't like being so far away from everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of happy with where we are now in like more suburbia type in between. But no, I was not interested in the city at all, which is hilarious that we ended up in a church in the city.
Yeah. Did any of your sisters have aspirations to leave?
No.
No.
Mm-mm, no.
So y'all are a contented family.
Yeah.
From a young age, you said that you loved the arts and you loved writing and all those things. Was that something, were your parents like interested in cultivating those things in you, or did you just dabble in them on your own, or how did that like work into your life?
My mom was always pretty encouraging of those types of things. She would, you know, always, you know, get me, when I started getting into, you know, drawing and painting, she would always, you know, be sure to make sure I got my supplies, and I would show her, hey, mom, look at this. And she was always really encouraging when it came to that sort of thing.
Was this something that you got from like maybe assignments in class, or are you just sort of like, hmm, I want to paint that. I need stuff.
You know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I guess when I was really young, I liked arts and crafts. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of grew from there. My mom was never like, she was not artsy. She was creative. She had beautiful handwriting, almost to calligraphy, like she, wow. Beautiful handwriting. She was a secretary before she had me, and went to school for it and everything. So she was real good about being organized and all of that. But I was the one who was really into the arts.
So being a quieter person, are those things that you like just kept into your room and kept to yourself and never wanted to share?
Well, in high school, I was fine with sharing things. And I remember in elementary school, like my teachers talking about how like good I was with my writing and how like advanced I was. But I, for
in
some reason.
In elementary school?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I scored super high on my SOLs. But for some reason, I never got moved up from a regular English class to an advanced until I was a senior in high school.
Wow.
It was hard, but I loved it.
Like,
I
what?
Was like, where has this been my whole life?
Oh, bummer. So throw out like a story that you loved or whatever. Can you think of one?
Growing up, I liked, I'm trying not to think of the, I mean, I already mentioned
Twilight.
I already mentioned Twilight, which is cringy.
It's
enough.
Over for you now. We all
yes,
know.
Yes, I'm way past that. I liked, I don't know, anything that was in the fantasy, like fiction genre.
Adventure stories then?
Mm-hmm. Gosh, my brain is blanking. I can't think of any titles right now.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? I probably would.
But if I went to a library, I'm sure I could just look and be like, oh, I remember reading that. Mm-hmm.
So did you go to the library a lot?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Both in school and also, that was another big thing that my mom really did push. She took us to the Sandston Library, which was right around the corner from the Sandston Pool. So a lot of summers we would get up.
That's perfect.
Go to the pool, go to the library, fill up our little canvas bags full of books and take them home and read them. I love the, what is it? The Treehouse series.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in elementary school, I read as many of those as I possibly could get my hands on.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a very early set that I read. Pride and Prejudice when I got older. I loved English Lit.
Mm-hmm.
So any of those types of books, Frankenstein.
If I could go back again. yeah, it's just some classes you just can't go on forever, but they're just like little things that you're interested in. But maybe now that Ava's going to be in high school next year, I've already started to think about things like that. I'm like, what will we be reading? And I honestly can't totally remember what I read in high school. I need to search some lists or whatever to see what she should be reading. But maybe she could talk about some books with you.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Okay, so what about church? You want to go back to that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What kind of church did you grow up in?
I grew up in a Baptist church when I was little. We went to Harvest Baptist, which is in Sandston.
Is it still there?
Mm-hmm. This last time I checked, it's still there. But then when I was, I want to say I was 8 or 9. I don't think I had quite hit 10 yet when we switched to New Bridge Baptist, which is on the other side of 60. They're very close to each other.
Is that like a big deal to switch churches?
Yes.
Yes.
We left with like, it was a group of us that left. To this day, I don't know what happened, but there was some disagreement. And so a good chunk of the church left and we went with them. And that's when most of my church memories kick in. I remember some from being at Harvest, but more so I remember the playground. I remember that Sunday school was in the basement of the parish house.
Okay.
It was a very small church. So that was another big thing with moving to New Bridge. It was a bigger church. I'd say Harvest maybe was 100 members, if that. And then we switch over to New Bridge and it's hundreds. So it was a pretty big switch.
What are your memories of like spiritual life in your household and not at the church building?
So my mom, I have to give her all the credit in the world. She was essentially a single mom raising us. I mean, because my dad was not, to my knowledge, he was not a Christian. There was some question after he passed of whether he ever expressed faith, but he never led anything in the house as far as worship or reading the Bible or anything like that. That was all my mom. She was big on like reading to us at night. And usually like the children's storybook Bibles, those types of things. And then I remember if we had scripture memory verses from Sunday school that we were, encouraged to memorize, she would help us with that. Watched a lot of VHSs of the Bible stories, but that was, of course, like praying at bedtime and at meals. But yeah, my mom did all of that. And I feel like she did an amazing job given her circumstances. So was a big, big, huge reason why church was such a big part of our lives.
Do you remember being a question asker or did you have questions about God or?
Maybe a few, but not like too terribly inquisitive. I just kind of believed, this is what I'm being told. So this is what I believe. I think as I got older, maybe as a teenager, I started to ask more questions. But when I was young, no, not really. It's just I honestly thought that's what everybody believed. I didn't realize that there were other religions and other ideas or that people just don't believe in God. I think even in my, how's the word? Being naive. that I've
ignorance.
Just thought that everybody was a Christian.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's kind of where I was at until I think I got until middle school when they started, maybe even high school when they started talking about world religions, and I was like, oh, okay, there's other beliefs out there I didn't realize.
Yeah,
it was just very much like, I guess, in my own little bubble as far as faith goes. I just made the assumption that everybody believed what I did.
So as you got older and into high school more, did any changes in you occur or any?
I'd say by the time I got to high school, that was a really rough time because that was when my parents split. And while we were still involved in church, I started to become more of a, I guess, I acted more churchy at church and at home than I did at school. Mm-hmm. I was part of, there's a club, I think it's FCA, something Christian Athletes, I can't remember. But okay. I was involved in that in high school, but that was, again, just kind of like the facade of me holding on to faith, but I was not, my heart was not in it. I was just kind of going through the motions, kind of struggling with, like, I don't think I ever said that it wasn't, God wasn't real. I just think when I was at my lowest point, I just decided that I was going to do my own thing for a little bit, and I'll figure out all that faith stuff later.
Gotcha.
That's kind of where I was at.
Did you have a group of friends that you felt the same way?
No, the friends that I in high school were not Christians at all. So that was probably a good
Did your mom know that? Did that bother her?
I'm sure she did. I think at that point, the divorce was really ugly, and she was handling so much that I'm sure she knew that a lot of my friends weren't Christians, but was hoping, I think, that I would make the right choices, and I did not. Most of my friends were, there was only a few that I would consider an actual, like, maybe two that I would consider close enough to be real friends. The rest of them were just kind of wishy-washy acquaintances. But other than that, a lot of my friends were boys.
Okay. You just threw a curveball.
Embarrassed as I am to admit that. Yeah, I hung out with a lot of guy friends.
Dated doing what?
A few of them. Well, that's the other thing. My mom was really strict, so I was not allowed to go to anybody's house. So all of my friend interactions were strictly at school. I had one friend in high school who I was close enough with, and my mom at least had met her parents and felt like I would be okay to go to her house. But it was never like to spend the night or anything. It was really just to, like, hey, let's go. Like, I had to hop in her car because I couldn't drive yet. Hop in her car and go to Williamsburg and hang out at the outlets, that type of thing. Most of my friends that I hung out with were church friends. Those were the ones that I was allowed to spend the night with and all of that. But my friends at school, definitely not.
So was there some kind of youth stuff for you when you were in high school at your church?
There was, but I was not allowed to go.
Okay, okay.
Which, in hindsight, I thank my mom for, but at the time, I was very bitter. Okay. And I was like, they're doing all these lockdowns, they're doing these mission trips, and going up to Niagara Falls, and they're going to build houses in Florida. Like, why can't I go, Mom? And nope.
Why are you thankful for that?
I am thankful for that because I found out later the amount of bad things that were going on.
Wow, okay.
And that the kids that were in youth were, most of them were there because their parents dropped them off to be there. They were not, like, it was kind of like a glorified babysitter. And it's like, oh, hey, sure, go on this little missions trip. But it was not a good place for me to be. And I'm very grateful that my mom kept me from that.
Did you have any, like, mentors in school then? Doesn't sound like you did in your church community, or did you?
There was a mom or two that worked in the church youth group, even though I wasn't an active, like, part of the youth group for a good chunk of time. When youth group would meet Sunday mornings, I would still go. So I did have interactions with one or two of the moms that volunteered who I would consider a mentor. The youth pastor's wife, Katie, who actually ended up being the one who encouraged us to check out Remnant years down the road, I would consider her a mentor. And there was a family friend mom, her name was Tammy, who was very integral at that time to keep me grounded. So yeah, that was about it.
Were you allowed to work?
I was. I didn't work. Actually, I need to backtrack a bit. I didn't have my first official job until the end of my senior year, and that was at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. Before that, my mom actually, when she had to start working, she started working part-time for a catering company. And when I got to be a young teen, so it was not yet okay for me to be working, but I got to help out with some of the larger parties.
Quote, unquote.
Yes, so an unofficial first job was catering, and that was a lot of fun. I thoroughly enjoyed
getting to do that. What kinds of things would you cater?
There was like a big charity event on the James River that we got to cater at one of the plantation houses. That one was always a lot of fun. So they have all these big historical like paintings hanging up in the house. Wow. And I specifically remember nerding out over, there's a bookshelf
with
old books. And love old books.
Yeah.
So I get excited. And of course, it's right by the water. Mm-hmm. So even though I was in the dead middle of summer and it was hot and it was humid and bugs were everywhere, it was so much fun. And then I remember doing a wedding at the train station in Richmond that has the clock.
Yeah, so pretty.
We got to do a wedding reception there, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no doubt.
There was a few other things I got to do here or there. All of it was fun. I thoroughly loved it. I would not be able to do that, I don't think. I'm not organized and like OCD enough about details to be able to be responsible for that. But as a teenager, that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Planning and at that level, you have to have a certain kind of personality.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. My mom is a like perfect person for that. She excelled when she did that. And
how long did she do that for?
Let's see. She started part time. I want to say when I was
like... Because her life
like,
probably really changed after the divorce, I'm sure.
Yeah, but she started doing it before the divorce. So I'm trying to think. I want to say I had been old enough to stay home with my sister. So I want to say 11 or 12 is the age that I was when she started. And she did that until she had to go full time after the divorce. So I think she stopped doing that when I was maybe 16.
Yeah,
I could be a little off on the years, but I'd say maybe 5 or 6 years that she did that.
So if it's okay to ask, is this that your parents' divorce, is that something that you and your sisters thought might happen or did it happen suddenly?
I have a very vivid memory, actually, of being in the car with my mom because my mom was always miserable with my dad. She was staying with him because she was trying to be a good Christian wife and not divorce, but she was miserable. And I remember turning to her in the car when I was 13, I think. I'm like, Mom, why don't you just leave him? You hate this life with him. Why are you staying with him? And I think that speaks volumes to how bad it was. My mom was always very, you know, angry when he was home. They were always arguing. I think that's one thing my sisters and I got so close as we would all be in our rooms just trying to drown out the sound of the shouting.
Yeah.
And try to not make Mom angry. I know she tried her best to not take it out on us, but just like any, you know, human kid, you know, probably got the brunt of some frustration from time to time.
Yeah.
It just was not a good situation. I know that she at least tried everything she could to make it work.
So how did your life change after that? What happened?
So it changed drastically because I think more so because of the actual day that it happened. Originally, my parents had sat us down after they had talked everything over and it was very calm and peaceful at first. They were saying, you know, we're going to separate for a little bit, which my mom had told me ahead of time what was happening, but my sisters were younger, so that was their first time hearing it. And we were upset, but, you know, it was fine because we were going to stay in the house. Mm-hmm. And my dad was going to go with my grandparents. But then my dad went in the other room and talked to my grandparents and then came back and started fighting with my mom, saying he wanted the house and we had to leave.
Okay, wow.
Or she had to leave and we had to pick who we were going to stay with. That was hard because especially for my little sister Madison, because she was so young. Myself and Madison, we're both type 1 diabetic. My mom handled everything. She ordered our supplies. She kept on top of our doctor's appointments. So obviously the one who raised us and the one who has done so much for us is who we're going to go with. that was really hard.
Yeah. So is that what happened? You guys had to move out?
We had to leave that day. We had to come back later for our things. But
wow, Erica.
We lived that summer with my aunt and uncle in Mechanicsville.
Wow.
And we just shared their spare bedroom, the four of us. Things got ugly after that, but eventually, you know, custody was worked out to where we'd be with my mom during the week for school and be with my dad every other weekend. And because of the choice we had to make, I'm not going to speak for my sisters, but I know I personally harbored a very bitter resentment towards my dad. So my relationship with him completely changed.
Yeah.
And the fact that I didn't get to, you know, stay in my childhood home just really hurt.
Yeah.
And I was 14 when this all happened. So we stayed with my aunt and uncle for that summer. My mom got a full-time job working at the same little, I don't even know what you call it, warehouse, that's the word, that my uncle worked at the time, putting parts together for medical supplies like dialysis.
Okay.
So that was her first full-time job. Actually, by the time the next school year started, a friend of hers from church offered to let us stay in her basement so we could go to the same school. And then after that, my mom rented a house in New Kent that was not far from our old house because she wanted us to be on the same bus and try to keep things the same as much as possible. But that was also hard for her because she was so close to my dad, who was being very antagonistic, and everything was so ugly with the divorce. It seemed like it was just a monthly thing where just like something else was going on that was just making life harder for us one way or the other. Crazy.
That is crazy.
So that's kind of where I started questioning things as far as like faith. You know, it really shook me up a lot. Like the question I guess everyone asks at some point is, why would God let this happen to me, you know? Which is also crazy because my mom was so miserable with him. And then once the divorce started happening and things started getting really wild, I was like, okay, maybe this is not what I thought this was going to be. Mm. I thought that it would be more peaceful and we could stay in our home and, you know, things would just get better. And it didn't for a while.
So you went through high school, and was it just like a big time of stress?
Yeah. I mean, I still kept up with my grades and everything, but I definitely like I kind of fit in more with the emo phase.
Okay.
Of nights the time, dressed in like all black, and I was listening to definitely not Christian music. That was another big shift for me. Is we always grew up on either Christian or country or, I mean, pop, you know, but I was listening more into things that were more darker and fit into what I was going through.
Yeah.
And I just kind of put faith to the side a bit. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. But I was not acting like it at all. You would probably see me at school and not think at all that I was a Christian.
Yeah.
By the way I was acting. But obviously not bad enough. Like, I didn't get in disciplinary trouble because I was terrified of my mom. So I was just good enough to stay out of trouble with that. But
was it something where, like, you would pack a certain shirt in your bag and change at school kind of thing?
You know, surprisingly, no, she did let me kind of wear the darker clothes and everything. She wasn't terribly strict on that, especially when I got to senior year. There was just a losing battle.
Yeah.
She did not let me dye my hair black like I wanted, though.
Yeah.
But no, I just a lot of dirty language, a lot of just really bad, poor attitude, behavior. I started finding all of my worth in boys and dating. It was always about the next crush or the next boyfriend. That is where I started to find my self-worth, was whether I had a boyfriend or not, or whether I fit what this particular boy that I was interested in expected in a girl. And so that was a really big shift for me. It wasn't what my mom wanted or what my family, you know, wanted for me or my self-worth found in my faith. It switched over to boys.
Yeah. So I can imagine that would be easy to stay in that small world. And then you hit senior year. Did you have a big school class? So, I mean, was everyone planning on, we're going to go to college here, we're going to do this, we're going to do that?
I think a lot of people were looking to get out of New Kent and move away. But I had no intentions. I mean, I went to J. Sargent Reynolds for college, but I was really just unsure of what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. When it came to that, during that time, I was very much depressed. So I had no aspirations. I had no dreams at that point, which was another big change. Because when I was younger, I did. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of big dreams for what I wanted for my life, and I just kind of shut that down.
Did you just plunge yourself into work?
McDonald's? No. As sad as it sounds, my obsession was whatever boyfriend I had. I just wanted to be with him, text him, hang out with him.
And you're driving at this point?
Yes. That was kind of my night and day, unfortunately.
So keep telling the story. What happened?
I'm trying to think. So kind of backtracking, I guess, really quick a little bit when it comes to the boys. I had a lot of, I guess you could call it puppy love boyfriends over the years, but they really didn't amount to anything. And then my first serious boyfriend was actually right before my parents. No, it was actually right during my parents' divorce. So I was still really emotional about everything going on. Everything was ugly, but I hadn't dive deep into any sort of depressive feelings or episodes. I was just kind of like, okay, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. It's going to get better. So I dated a guy who was youth group aged with me, but he was homeschooled, which he was him and his sister were the only homeschoolers in our youth group that I knew of. And they were very nice. They were very upright Christian family. It was probably a smarter person for me to pick to try to be dating with. But we went on a few serious dates and everything. He was just a perfect gentleman and he was very sweet. But as things started to deteriorate at home, I started to hit a rebellious phase. And I remember I broke up with him 3 weeks before junior prom because I didn't want him to embarrass me in front of my friends with being too Christian. Mm-hmm. So I broke up with him, and I was actually best friends with his sister at the time. So I severed ties with both, which was adding to the painfulness of everything going on at home.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have a lot of friends, really, especially that were girls. So that was really painful. And then after that, I switched to another guy who ironically was going to church with me, but was definitely not a Christian and was the polar opposite. The kind that was, our first date, he honked his car outside, telling me that he was there and was trying to instantly take things way too far. And just not a good guy at all for me to be with. He was emotionally, mentally abusive. So that also played a really big toll into everything else that was going on, just chaos at home. I thought he was going to be my little savior through everything, and it turns out he was horribly messing with me mentally and just putting me down. It got so bad to the point I actually experimented with self-harm a bit just because I was just so lost.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was like, what else? What do I have to lose? But I was, again, too scared of my mom finding the scars, so... Sure. I stopped pretty quickly and switched to alcohol. I started sneaking my mom's alcohol, which she didn't have too terribly much of, you know, but it was there. So that's where my poor relationship with alcohol started. I was just trying to find something, anything to numb
in
the pain.
School.
In high school.
Yeah.
Senior year was, this was like senior year also. Slightly after graduation, this is kind of when that all started.
Was there anyone that was like, hey, Erica, I'm concerned about you?
Nope.
No.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I did, I guess, a good enough of a job. I mean, when my mom caught me with, you know, she noticed one day that too much of her vodka was gone. Mm-hmm. She confronted me about that. But I just played it off like, oh, I just wanted to try it, you know, no big deal. And I was a little more careful for a while. And yeah, no one ever really was like, hey, what's going on? I got in a lot of, you know, trouble with my mom with this guy. So a lot of long talking to's and lectures, and you really shouldn't, you know, be with him and all of that. But at the same time, I think she wanted me to learn that for myself, that what she saw, red flags that I needed to see. Mm-hmm. And I finally eventually did. But that led me into an even worse situation where, because at that point I was like devastated. That was the savior for me, you know, sure. Someone to buoy myself to since everything else around me was crumbling. And so I actually started a relationship online with someone who was twice my age when I was 18.
Okay.
Just turned 18. I was, and that finally took my mom stepping in. Mm-hmm. She blocked his number after noticing the phone records. And this was right after she got with my stepdad, and they both had to like sit me down and was like, what is going on? And I was so mad. I was so mad at the time. I was like, how could you do that? You know, all this stupid teenage mindset. But that's what I needed to to snap me out of it. And I'm like, okay.
So what happened? How did things change for you? Because clearly that's like something probably, I don't know, feels so long ago to you, or so different from who you are now.
It is.
It's hard to probably process.
So you mean how did I change from that to starting? So after that, we moved in with my stepdad and things felt more stable. So at that point, I was still just kind of going to church to go to church. I was still not, you know, into it until actually I got Kenny interested in going to church when I met him, which I do have to say, after ending that online relationship, I decided I wasn't going to be with anybody. I was like, I'm just going to be single, figure out who I am, heal, you know, not looking for anything at all. So I turned, let's see, I was 19 when I started working at Pfizer off of Darby Town Road, which is now Fareva. And my stepdad was a manager there, or supervisor. So he got me in there as a temp through a temp agency to just get me out of McDonald's, because I had been there for almost a year and I was like, I don't want to stay here. But I didn't have any, I was starting to go to J. Sergeant Reynolds. I was taking a class here or there, but I didn't know what I wanted, and I knew I didn't want to do student loans. I was going to pay my way little by little until I figured out what I wanted to do. So I was like, well, I'm just going to work full time. And I got the job at Fareva, and then I met Kenny. He was the security guard there. And after we started just getting to know each other, like, we had to tell each other up front, like, hey, I'm not looking for anything, you know, serious, because I'm getting over. He was getting over a painful breakup. I was getting over everything that I had just went through.
but we just
started talking. Now, he was slightly interested in me. I do have to say that, because if he hears this, be like, don't say that. I wasn't interested in you. He was, because he asked me out for drinks, not realizing that I was not yet 21. And I was like, who is this super tall guy with gray hair?
he had gray hair at the time. He was gray.
He told me he started turning gray when he was like 14 or something.
Wow.
So, yeah, I was like, how old is this guy, you know? So I got his number and we started texting. But I had to tell him pretty much, like, from the get-go, I am not interested in anything. And then he was kind of like, okay, well, let's just talk and become friends then. So that's, and I invited him after I did start developing feelings for him to the Christmas play or performance, I don't know what you want to call it, that my church, New Bridge, was doing, and Caitlin was singing in. And so I was like, hey, you want to come to church with me? And after he started going and getting interested in everything, so it kind of paralleled. We both kind of were moving in the same direction, except I was, you know, I grew up in the church. I was baptized when I was little, whereas he was not. Mm. So he got saved. And from that point on, we got engaged. And yeah.
Okay, wow.
In our Sunday school class for young adults, yes. And yeah, he got baptized there, and we started kind of growing together from that point. I was still dealing with a lot of things emotionally, mentally, but I was more interested in faith taking priority in my life again, somewhat.
Yeah, yeah.
I still had a lot to work through, but somewhat moving in that direction.
Yeah. Were you able to reconcile with your dad ever?
I did. Not for the right reasons. I felt guilty while I was planning for my wedding with Kenny. I felt like my dad should have a part in giving me away. But I also wanted to include my stepdad because I love Jerry. That's my stepdad. He stepped in and took care of us the way my dad never did. I give him all the credit in the world for that, because he had two daughters of his own who are our age, or my age. So I wanted to make sure that my dad got to be a part of that, because I knew if I didn't, there was just something that told me if I didn't, I was going to regret it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did reconcile with my dad for that. And then the years after that, you know, it was very awkward because I did go a good amount of time without talking with him. And then when we were doing the joint custody thing, I was very ugly to him, very hateful, bitter. And regardless of how ugly things were between my parents, he didn't deserve that.
Right.
So I did get to reconcile and apologize. And we were on good terms before he passed a few years ago. So I'm glad that I did that.
Yeah, yeah. So walk us back. How long have you and Kenny been married then?
So we'll be married 11 years in 2 weeks, the 27th of April. We got married 2013.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'd say we got engaged only 6 months after officially dating. We kind of went on a few, we didn't want to call them dates because, again, we were trying really hard to not be committed to anything, and trying to figure out what we wanted to do. But I joke now that our first date was at Olive Garden, and we were there for 4 hours just talking. We made our waiter
of breadsticks.
Yes. We made our waiter so angry. But and not even that, like, we talked like, I would say 3 hours at the table and then an extra hour outside. And then that night I went to Virginia Center Commons Mall back when it was still a mall with Caitlin, and he met us there, and I got to talk with him even more. So,
but you didn't like him. You didn't like him.
I think I, at that point, because that was a couple months after we had been like texting, which was another sign that I should have known that this was different, is like the moment we started talking to each other, we did not stop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though we were saying, oh, we're just friends, you know, we're just getting to know each other, the conversation never stopped. We were just constantly back and forth. But it was different. I wasn't obsessing over him. I wasn't trying to change my image to fit him. I was genuinely trying to just be friends, also, you know, heal my, you know, self and everything. So it was different, and it was healthy, and it was good.
So let's go into reflecting. So what is maybe something that you see as just maybe something you do regret, or if you could change, or maybe nothing?
I regret not trying out for track in high school.
Okay.
That's I did do sports growing up. I did tap jazz when I was little, and I did basketball a lot through church, first with Upwards at Newbridge, and then I liked it so much, even though I didn't make the middle school team, I still told my mom I wanted to do it. So she found me another church league at a church nearby that was doing more teenagers.
That's
older
cool.
Older teenagers. I think Upwards, you could only do it until you were 13, I think. I could be wrong. So she found one for teenagers, and I did that for a year or two. but I really liked short-term running, like short distance. Mm-hmm. Hated the mile.
Yeah.
I hated running the mile in gym class. And I think that's what kept me from trying out for the team, because I had acquaintances who were on the track team. They're like, oh, you got to run a mile every single time. I'm like, no. But I was really fast. So I could have, you know, done, what is it that you do in gym class? The suicides?
Oh,
just
run back and forth.
I loved those. Okay. I lived for those.
Wait, you're nuts.
Yeah, I know. So I regret not trying out for track. And another thing I regret.
I bet you like roller coasters.
I do.
Yeah.
I love roller coasters. I didn't always. Actually, I used to be terrified of them, but that same homeschool boy that mm-hmm. I dated, and I know that sounds terrible calling him the homeschool boy, but
it's okay.
He was literally the only one that I, or the only friends I ever were around that mm-hmm. were homeschooled. So everyone else was public school. We went to King's Dominion, and he helped me work through that fear, and I just wanted to impress him so bad, but I ended up loving them. So that was one good thing that came out of that. But now the other regret I have was not pursuing an art career or art at all. My art teacher, I spent like half of my senior year in the art department.
Mm-hmm.
I picked all of my electives. I was like a student teacher, like aide or whatever for the art teacher. I just loved being in there so much. I took ceramics my junior and senior year, and I loved it. Mm-hmm. And my art teacher highly encouraged that I create a portfolio, and I never did.
Mm.
I didn't think I was good enough. That was always the thing when I started hitting like my lower moments. I was like, I'm never going to be good enough to do anything in this world. You know, I'm never going to amount to anything. So why even bother?
Yeah.
But I loved it. It was so therapeutic. If I could go back, I would seriously pursue that.
Yeah.
But it was not meant to be.
We'll see.
Maybe one day I'll get to throw on a pottery wheel again. But
what about things that you appreciate from your past that you can see now with different eyes?
Other than my mom protecting me, I appreciate how close my sisters and I were. Friendships with other girls was always hard for me. I had a few, you know, two specifically that I went to church with. Didn't really have many steady friends at school, so I relied on my sisters a lot. They were mm-hmm. they were my best friends, even though we were also sisters.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that, and I also appreciate how much time we spent outside and doing things that used our imaginations. I mean, TV was a thing, and then we got a computer when I was a little bit older, but we really didn't use them all too terribly much. It mm-hmm. was a lot of outside play. Movies were more for like sick days and rainy days.
Yeah. And you didn't care?
No, not really. I mean, we watched, you know, Disney Channel, Nickelodeon, mm-hmm. stuff like that. Mom was very strict about what we could and couldn't watch as far as like movies and stuff was concerned, which I also appreciate now looking back, realizing how much was out there that a lot of kids my age were watching. Even in high school, at that point, I just wasn't interested in watching what everyone else was watching, like reality TV and stuff like that, and rated R movies. I also put off for a while because my mom was like, you can't watch rated R movies.
Yeah. I mean, even horror movies, really, I feel like.
I hate horror films, so that was okay. I don't like scary, but just it was a good thing. I didn't appreciate at the time. I remember whining and complaining to my mom when I was 13, like, why can't I watch a PG-13 movie? And she wouldn't let me. And in hindsight, I think that was a good thing.
Yeah. It is funny.
Maybe let me watch some that were not terribly bad, you know, but that's okay.
Well, is there any other areas of your life that you want to touch on that we didn't get into? How long did you stay in that job? That when you met Kenny?
Oh, Freva. I did that.
What did you end up pursuing in work?
I ended up switching over to a gastrointestinal practice. As first it was call center, but when I interviewed for the job, I wanted to be a front desk receptionist. So they basically, the way it worked there is you had to do your time in mm-hmm. the call center before you could do anything else. I switched there. I was working at Fareva. I moved up from being a temp to full-time pretty quickly, and I did that working 3 to 11. That was pretty much all my what would have been my college years. Mm-hmm. Once I got engaged to Kenny, I finished the class or two that I was taking that semester at J. Sarge, and I never went back. I wanted to for the longest time because I thought, again, that was where my worth could have been found. Mm-hmm. I was trying to find worth in things that were not the right place. I thought I had to get a degree. I had to get a job that could get me into a corporate type world. So I would figure I'd just start at front desk and then move to something else like banking or, mm-hmm. you know, something. Until I could go to college and get a degree. So I was at Fareva 4 years,
okay,
I want to say. And then I did the gastro office. I was there 3 years. And then I moved to another front desk position at a pediatrician's office. And then I did a short stint front desk at orthopedic before becoming homemaker. We can talk about that later.
Awesome. Well, all right. So let's, I guess, close out this episode, if you're okay with that. And yeah. If you would mind sharing with everybody, I guess, just a praise to the Lord for a woman who has meant a lot to you in the way that she's shared just her Christ-likeness with you or impacted you. And then would you pray for her?
Of course. Yeah. So I have to start by saying that this was so hard.
Yeah.
I mean, which is a blessing, uh-huh. you know, especially we get to talking about, you know, in the next episode and how friendships have been, you know, always hard for me. So the fact that there were so many to choose from is just amazing. I do have to cheat a little bit and lift you up for a second because you have always been so encouraging and I have always appreciated you being so generous and gracious when my family's been through a hard time. You've, you know, texted me like, hey, do you need anything? Can I bring you a meal? Can I pray for you? And I just appreciate that so very much.
Love you.
I love you. But the person I have chosen, the lady I have chosen to lift up is one who I met shortly after coming to Remnant, and that is Melissa Dalton. I am so grateful for her. She has just become a very dear sister to me. She started as our first CG leader, well, her and Stephen, and I would like to honor her and lift her up today.
Awesome.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, I lift up Melissa to you today. Father, I thank you for the friendship we have shared over the years. I am grateful for her loving, generous, sacrificial, encouraging, and kind spirit. She is one who I know many have been blessed by at our church, as well as in our city and surrounding community. Lord, thank you for her spiritual gift of encouragement. She has been there for me for many ups and downs these past 2 years and has always been there to give support and show your love when I needed it most. Thank you for her dependability and for her always being able to meet me where I'm at, wherever it be, to lift me up or even sometimes give godly counsel or rebuke when I have been in the wrong. God, I praise her for taking such huge steps of faith with both stepping away from her career of public school teaching to homeschool her boys, as well as teaming up with her husband, Stephen, to start and help run Reveresco. I thank you for her godly example, and I lift her up to you today, Father, and ask for blessings upon her as she continues to humbly serve you, our church, and our community. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Whole Home Podcast, a podcast that displays the unity of sisters in a local church and the way God so wonderfully gives us to each other in our uniqueness and in our sameness for His glory. The stories we share weave together as one grand testimony to the work of Christ and His faithful presence in the garden of our lives. Remember, the Master Gardener is always at work, so let's yield to Him and grow where we're planted.